Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have, so give us a call, set up your session today. What up, Dog Speak Geeks? I got Brett back this week.
Hey.
Hey. All right, so we're going to talk about positive reinforcement. Like, I'm not even doing a bunch of show notes. I mean, a bunch of announcements.
We're just going to wing it.
I'm just like, I should probably do a little announcement. Make sure you guys are following us on social media. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter so you don't miss out on anything. And if you're local, you don't want to miss out on our launching of Do It For You services, our Unleashed program, where we are going to do things with your dog without you. So if you're busy, we got you. So just email us if you're interested in that. Very limited times available. And so you want to get on that list if you're local. If you're not local, sorry. But we do offer virtual sessions if you need any help with your dog. So that's all I got right there.
Awesome.
I don't think I have anything else.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, let's roll with it.
We're going to roll. We're going to talk about positive reinforcement. Why? Because, well, it's important. It's all we talk about. And as we should, because it's the way to go. But you went to see How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
And yeah. You've seen it before it was in theater, so the original, I guess.
Yeah, so the cartoon.
The cartoon one, and you loved it, but then it came out in the theater.
As a live version, live and CGI version. First of all, because I'm obsessed with Toothless, I think Toothless is the cutest animated anything of all time, and I will fight somebody on it.
Wow.
I will die on that hill.
Wow.
Toothless is my boo.
All right.
So
I've not seen it. I have no desire.
Yeah, so you've got to ask questions here. And I don't want to ruin it for you, but
it doesn't matter. I'm not going to watch it.
What?
I'm probably not going to watch it.
You need to watch it.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe not.
You need to watch it.
All right, so I don't want... Okay, so if you haven't seen it and you want to see it and you don't want any spoilers, then turn this off and come back to this episode.
Yeah.
After you've watched it. If you don't care, keep listening.
Yeah. Or if you've seen the cartoon, I will say the cartoon and the live version are very similar. I mean, same storyline, characters, that sort of thing. So.
All right.
So, How to Train Your Dragon. Just a quick synopsis, mostly for you, because you haven't seen it.
I would not let her talk to me about it. I wouldn't let you talk to me about it because I wanted to make sure
that... It was a bummer because I was so excited.
Well, I know, but I was like, let's record about it.
Yeah, so Anne and I went to see this because Anne is the one who introduced me to How to Train Your Dragon in the first place. So shout out to Anne. We went for a friend date to see this the other day. So How to Train Your Dragon is about a Viking village that has been attacked by dragons. Multiple times over the years, and their whole mission in life is to destroy dragons.
It is.
They're gonna annihilate dragons because in their minds, dragons are mean, they're scary, they steal their livestock, their food, they destroy their homes. They're a nuisance.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how this started.
Okay.
In fact, a dragon killed the main character's mother.
Oh.
So we got a hiccup. He's the main character.
His dad
is the chief of the village. But Hiccup, as his name suggests, is a bit of a hiccup. He kind of messes up everything when he tries to help. He just tries to help because he wants to be like his dad, right? He wants to make his dad proud.
Aww.
That's another recurring theme in this movie.
Okay.
So the human-to-human dynamics are really important as well as the dragon-human dynamics.
All right.
So he just wants to make his dad proud, but he can't do it because he keeps messing up stuff. And so he invents this contraption that basically traps dragons. It malfunctions, but it does catch a Night Fury. And a Night Fury is a dragon. It's completely black. No one's ever seen it. Because, you know, they're not seeing it during the daytime. These attacks are at night. They've never seen a Night Fury. It is like the one dragon they don't know anything about. So, turns out Hiccup catches one.
Okay.
And if you know what Toothless looks like, Toothless is a Night Fury. That cute little angel baby
is a Night... You know, who's killing livestock and...
Is a Night Fury.
Okay.
So, he catches it and then has a chance to kill it, but can't. Just cannot bring himself to do it.
All right.
And you find out when later in the movie, his friend asks him why. He said, well, he was just as frightened as I was.
Aw.
And anyway...
Empathy's important.
I should say that I cried a few times in this movie.
You cried?
Yeah.
In this movie?
I know, it's... It's really weird.
Wow.
I know, I cried. There were tears. And so he couldn't kill this creature. But what he finds out is that during this capture, Toothless loses a tail fin. And a dragon can't fly if they're missing a fin. So he makes it his mission to rebuild the fin. But in order to do so, he has to ride the dragon because he has to control the back fin. So, anyway, over the course of weeks, I'm assuming weeks, he basically uses positive reinforcement, food mostly.
Okay.
Because Toothless can't catch his own food because he can't fly, to win the trust of this dragon and shows the dragon, like, I'm here to help. Because, you know, they can't communicate. They don't speak the same language.
Correct. Okay.
So it's, you know, you're laughing at me.
I know. No, I'm not laughing. We're good.
So there are different species of dragons. So it's like dogs.
Okay.
And they have like a manual. And they know everything about every dragon. Except the Night Fury, of course.
Of course.
And they get real nerdy about it. Like... It reminds me of you with your dogs and genetics, and they know, like, how they kill, what the jaw strength is of each one.
Wow.
Like what the, yeah. So it's, like, it's very, very, like, AKC manual. Or very,
for
like,
dragons.
Meet your dog manual.
That's amazing.
Yeah, like, basically, okay. Meet your dragon. So Hiccup ends up having to go through this trial, and the trial is to see who the best slayer is. And he ends up winning, which is unfathomable to his father and to everyone else in the village, because how in the hell did this kid, like, how's he able to basically tame these dragons and get them back into their cages? Because they've got some captured dragons that they use for training purposes.
To slay? Like, what are they being... Are they being trained to slay dragons?
Yes, but in the trials, what they're doing is basically subduing them and getting them back into their cages.
Okay.
And Hiccup is...
Oh, so they're not killing them?
Not in this portion of
okay. The
movie.
Okay.
And I will say, you only actually see like one dragon being killed.
Okay.
It's very well done.
It's a dragondie.com.
Yeah. If you're not into like violence, you don't see like people and dragons die. They did that on purpose, and I'm very appreciative of it. Except the one, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
So he ends up winning, but how he's winning is he's learning from Toothless what dragons don't like. So for instance, dandelions make them sneeze, so he has a handful of dandelions that he throws in one of the dragon's faces. It sneezes, and when they sneeze, they emit fire, and it's like a gun. They only get a certain amount of blasts before they're useless for a minute.
Okay.
So things like that, like he knows that they have an aversion to smoked eel. Like, dragons hate smoked eel. So he uses that to get them. And they're like, how is he learning all this about dragons? Nobody has any
idea. So he's using some positive punishment.
Also using positive punishment.
Just adding something to decrease a behavior.
Exactly.
Okay. Just want to let people know.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of that as well. But he ends up winning the trials. And then at the end of the trial, if you win, you have to kill a dragon. Which...
Well, that's dumb.
His friend finds out what he's been up to, threatens to rat him out. She doesn't. She's a good friend. Also falls in love with Toothless because, duh, he's cute shit. And then he's in the ring and he has to kill this dragon. He's in front of the whole village and they think he's a failure. But he basically is like, I have to convince them that dragons aren't bad. Like, dragons are only doing this because they have a queen who is making them do this. And if they don't, the queen eats them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they're surviving. They have to survive. And unfortunately, it doesn't go over well with the chief. He's pretty pissed. Wants to know why his son is a failure again.
Wow.
It's like, dude, I don't understand. Like, a dragon killed your mom. How do you have a pet dragon? Like, this makes zero sense to me. And I promise this is applicable to dog training and dog relationships. I'm not just rambling on about a movie to promote a movie here. And so they end up kidnapping, the village kidnaps Toothless because a dragon is the only one who can find the dragon's nest, which is where the queen is. The whole goal here is to go annihilate all the dragons, and they're all in the nest. So they're going to go destroy this nest. So they use Toothless. They capture Toothless. I know, it's...
My lip just came out. I was pouting just there for a minute. I don't even know Toothless.
They put him in this ugly muzzle.
Aww.
And he's...
Now, don't say ugly muzzle, because everybody's going to be like, see, I told you muzzles were... What kind of muzzle was it? Was it like a basket muzzle? No,
it's a very ugly muzzle. Like, you couldn't even breathe.
Oh, no, that's not appropriate. That is not the kind of muzzles we like. It's like
a basket muzzle.
Yeah, we like basket muzzles. Well, you're right, because he breathes fire, so... Yeah, you wouldn't be able to...
Exactly. Basket. And okay. It's a Night Fury. One of the... It is, like, the most dangerous.
Okay.
Hard to believe. But anyway. So, all that to say, the... Hiccup and his buddies end up rescuing the dragons that were caught for the trials, and Hiccup teaches these kids real quick, sped up. Obviously, we know that relationships aren't built in 5 minutes, but it's a movie, people, and so he teaches them how to gain the trust of the dragons so that they can ride them into battle, basically.
Wow.
Because he's like, listen, it's not the dragon's fault. Like, it's the queen. Like, that's who's controlling. It's the queen dragon.
Okay.
So, with the help of the kids, they end up defeating the queen. And Hiccup loses his leg. But while he's recouping, the village learns to live in harmony with the dragons. And the dragons basically become their pets and their friends, and they live with them in the village, and they share resources, and everyone's lives happily ever after.
Yeah.
Fantastic story. and you know, everybody's happy. Parents are proud of their kids and blah 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 blah.
Okay.
So all that to say, there are a lot of, like, applicable you know, dog relationship building skills here. What to do, what not to do, that sort of thing. So obviously you have the positive reinforcement with food and learning to communicate with one another. So and there are a couple of instances where, like, Toothless starts mimicking Hiccup because he's, like, trying to figure him out.
Okay.
And also trying to show, like, I see you, I trust you. The big test is when Hiccup is allowed to touch his muzzle, basically. And that's the biggest, like, okay, we're like a horse.
We're good.
Yeah, we're good. And, you know, feeding him. I keep going back to feeding him because that's really how it starts, is with food and that positive reinforcement of, like, bringing the resource to them.
Okay.
Which I also recognize that a dog in captivity who's brought a resource it's not necessarily a positive thing. It's a survival thing. And I get it, because Toothless is also sort of in captivity because he can't fly anywhere.
Yes.
He's at the mercy of this
human. He is captive, yes. Just like our dogs.
So there are other, obviously there are other activities that go into this where he's gaining his trust. It's all about gaining the trust of the dragon. Because at one point, Toothless has the opportunity to kill him, to kill Hiccup, but doesn't. And there's this back and forth of like, I saved you, you saved me. Like, it keeps going back and forth like that for a little while. And they're just really filling each other out and trying to see if, you know, the other one's dangerous or not.
Okay, so I'm thinking new dog in the home. Maybe it's been in a shelter, rescue, comes into the home. Nobody knows anything about each other. Mm-hmm. Are you going to do damage to me? Am I going to do damage to you?
Yeah.
We don't know each other.
Yeah, there's definitely an acclimation period here. And it goes further into it, obviously, than like when he's teaching the kids how to like gain a dragon's trust. Like, yes, it's something that would take weeks for a dog, right? Like,
right.
And the same thing with like Toothless. It takes a period, a long period for him to gain his trust. And repeatedly showing up and showing like, I'm not a threat.
So being respectful of Toothless needs.
Mm-hmm.
Being respectful, like, so did he learn how to read his body language? Did they go into any of that?
There's a little bit of that.
When a dragon does X, Y, and Z, this is what that means?
Yeah, it's mostly like grunts and snorts.
Okay.
Of what they mean. You know, and okay. He's called Toothless because when he's not eating, he retracts his teeth. So he looks like he has no teeth.
Okay.
But then he's got scary teeth whenever...
they come out.
Whenever he's eating his fish.
Okay.
So, yeah. It is very, like, new home, dog in the home, acclimation period.
Okay.
Earning trust.
And using resources, very important.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the times that I would say, you know, when your dog, if you have a new dog in the home, I wouldn't be asking my dog to necessarily be working for that food from you. You just providing it in an enrichment source, using it as enrichment. So like a snuffle mat, tossing it out in the grass, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to do better getting used to, you know, the dog getting used to you. Than like forcing a hand feeding. Did he toss food to him, or did he kind of force him to come near him in order to get the food?
Well, he tossed it because it's a dragon.
It's a dragon. So that's one thing I want us to take away, right? That there's one. Don't force a dog to come close to you in hopes that's going to make him get comfortable. Because mm-hmm. you're asking him to come close to something that is uncomfortable. And even though you may give them something nice, it is, they're going to be conflicted. And as we know, usually negative emotions, especially if there's negative emotions that have been running haywire for the dog's life, those negative emotions are going to make a greater impact right now
mm-hmm.
because of the state of mind that the dog is in.
Yeah.
So if Toothless shows up with a broken fin, he got trapped, he's never been seen, you know, he probably sleeps somewhere quiet during the day, and now he's trapped and in the daylight, and now he's got this little human named Hiccup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that can be very, you know, regardless of if, you know, he could eat Hiccup in one bite. But basically saying, I will bring you resource, and there's no, what's the word I'm looking for? There's no...
there are no expectations.
There's no expectations. Yeah, there's no, I'll give you this if you give me that. No, yeah. I'm just going to provide mm-hmm. this for you right now.
Yeah. And so that there's some of that back and forth for a little while, obviously, because you can't just, one, he has to study him because he has to create a new fin. And in order to do that, he needs to know what he's doing, you know, what he needs to create, what is needed in order to get Toothless to fly again.
Okay, so he has to get to know him as an individual,
mm-hmm.
not from dragons he's known in the past, not from dragons his grandma had when he was growing up,
mm-hmm.
not dragons that went and, you know, would bring the paper in.
Right.
Get to know them individually.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm. So here we're gonna learn a lot here from Hiccup and Toothless.
Yeah.
Okay. Being patient, not forcing anything. Mm-hmm. I assume he didn't immediately like try to take Toothless to the farmer's market or to the patio or over to a friend's house, right?
No.
Nope. Just let him decompress. It's just about building relationships.
Let's not take Toothless anywhere is the whole goal. Okay. Nobody needs to know about Toothless. Nobody needs to know.
So, in this movie, nobody needs to know about Toothless. Nobody needs to know about your new dog right now. Let the dog decompress.
Yeah. Like, you haven't even asked Dad if you can have the dog yet.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah. So, that's where they are there. But what's really interesting is they bring the species aspect into it. There are, like 100 some different species of dragons. But they all have the same needs.
Okay.
And a lot of their genetics are the same, even though they're different. But they each have their own roles, their own jobs, and their own skills based on how they've been bred. So it's
A dog.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see that. But still, they're the same, like the smoked eel. That's just an aversion that dragons have in general.
Okay.
Across the board. Or if you tickle them or scratch them like a dog underneath their chin, they fall asleep and they're subdued.
Okay.
So then that's another trick. Like, it's something they enjoy. They like it, but it makes them go to sleep.
Okay.
So then, yeah, you have a dragon that is useless, basically.
Okay. I'm thinking one of those long back scratchers. the little wooden back scratcher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just use that at a distance for the dragon.
Yeah.
Put it on like a 10-foot pole.
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, to subdue him.
Yeah.
What did he teach him? What was the skill that he taught?
How to fly again. There are no, tricks. The whole goal is to get him to fly again.
Okay.
But he has to relearn how to fly because this artificial fin is controlled by a pedal. And so that means Hiccup has to not only build the fin, but he has to build the pedal to change the direction of the fin.
Okay.
If it's open, if it's closed. And then he has to build a saddle.
Okay.
So there's also some horse training here too that goes into it.
So I'm hearing that it's really a lot more about cooperative care.
Mm-hmm.
So building that relationship and building that cooperative care of, we need to do this to make you healthy.
Yep.
We've got to be able to do this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Using positive reinforcement, but also some positive punishment. Or was that, didn't use positive punishment with him.
He doesn't use
it. It was
for
just
Toothless.
More of a safety.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was using it to subdue the dragons.
Okay.
In a non-scary, nothing that hurt them.
Okay. So no physical pain.
Right. They just don't like the eel. It doesn't hurt them to be around it or scare them. They're not afraid of it. They're just like, ooh, gross, get it away from
me,
kind of thing.
So it's an aversion, but not a pain-related.
Exactly.
And not fear-based. It's just a dislike.
It's not going to cause them trauma.
Okay, good. We don't want to cause trauma. Not even in dragons.
They did a really good job in this movie of not causing anyone trauma, viewer-wise.
That's good.
It is a children's movie after all.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, did you, was here's a big one for me, because now the dragon's captive. Dragon can't do what dragons do. Did he find ways to give Toothless enrichment to meet those genetic needs?
Yeah, so that's the great thing you see at the end of the movie, is all the dragons are doing dragon shit.
Yeah.
And they're allowed to do dragon shit.
Awesome.
But they're doing it with humans. So, they're perfectly fine with humans riding on them. So long as they get to fly. But no one's got them on a leash. They're not tethered.
Okay.
They can go wherever they want. They can do whatever they want. They're free to do that. But they also depend on the humans for resources. So they're going to depend on humans for food.
So they're not killing the livestock.
Exactly.
Because that's being met through another avenue.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So they're able to fish. They're, And so then the Vikings, because they don't have ships anymore, because they were blown up by the other dragons.
Okay.
It's like, well, we don't have ships anymore. We can use dragons as transportation. Well, in order to have dragons for transportation, you have to take care of them. So,
okay,
there's a great, like, symbiotic relationship.
So it's really, they basically took the story of, like, hey, let's take these wild animals, mm-hmm. and instead of letting them hunt around our camp and try to eat our food, let's join with them to get resources together. And then we slowly became buddies.
Yep.
It used to be just working partners, and it was buddies. They were living closer, and then now we've got domesticated dogs that are captive. And if we don't meet those needs, they're going to find other ways of doing it. Yep. And it's usually things that humans don't like.
Right.
Exactly. But that's who they are.
Exactly.
It doesn't make a dragon bad. Doesn't make a dog bad. It's just that's what they are.
Yeah.
We need to learn to be respectful.
Yep.
Okay. What really stood out to you that made you so excited and made you like think about dogs, other than like obviously the positive reinforcement? Was there anything that stuck out that you were like, wow, that's really...
Other than when Toothless is panting and Hiccup's face trying to wake him up, it reminded me of our dogs. I was like, oh my God.
Okay.
It looks like Willow. Like Willow has toothless eyes. It's adorable.
Okay.
What it is.
Is it adorable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's good.
What stood out?
Yeah, so...
It's also really interesting, like, the unwillingness of the adults to listen to the kids. That's a whole different story and a whole other thing. But we've talked about this in the past about, you know, treating kids as, and that they're teenagers. They're not like little bitty kids.
Right.
But basically letting kids form their own paths and not trying to mold them into you,
yes,
or into what you want them to be, to let them be who they're gonna be. Like if Hiccup was like his dad, like everyone would still be killing dragons, but he's like, I can't do that, like that's not okay,
somebody's got to start the change.
Yeah, so like he stops the cycle and shows them like there's a better way to do this. You don't have to use pinch collars and shock collars. Like, you don't have to kill them. Like, we can live...
We don't have to scream and yell and spank them and
get
physical with them.
Exactly. Like, we can... There are other ways to do it. And the inconsistency... That's the other thing. The inconsistency of, like, the adults with the kids and... Sometimes they're proud of them and sometimes they're not proud of them, and they're proud of them if they're fitting into what they want, but they're not proud of them if they're a Hiccup. And, you know, so like dad is proud of Hiccup whenever he is named the slayer, the top slayer. But when Hiccup can't kill the dragon, he loses his shit again. Like, it's just like there's this conditional love there for the longest time in the movie before his dad finally like gets his shit together and realizes,
wow,
my kid's right, you know. And he's not the only kid in this group with a parent like that, where the whole goal is like, I just want to make my dad proud. And making them proud means you're an identical version of dad, you know.
Ugh.
Yeah, so there's a lot of that. Yeah. And I think we see that with not just parents, but with, you know, dog guardians as well.
Absolutely.
Where it's like, I like the love and the relationship is so conditional on the dog acting a certain way. Well, it's like at some point you have to change yourself too.
Yeah. There's two people or there's two organisms in a relationship.
Yeah.
And that you've got to find that compromise, that middle ground. You know, it's, you can be a part of your dog's evolution, just like your dog can be a part of your evolution.
Yeah.
And it's learning to respect the dog in front of you and understand that they're not here to please you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know people are like, oh, you know, people tell me all the time, oh, he just wants to please. that's not a thing for him. Mm-hmm. What it is he wants to ensure that his secure attachment stays there and his resources are there and that he survives.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't think dogs love unconditionally. And we've had an episode on that before. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of owners love the dogs, but they don't express it very well when the dog is not doing what they want.
Yeah.
And but yet not taking the time to teach, taking the time to understand the behavior that's happening. Mm-hmm. That's a big one, of understanding the behavior that's happening. But just like that, it's like instead of automatically assuming all dragons are bad because this is what they did, understanding what is the root cause of this. Mm-hmm. The root cause was the queen.
Yeah.
Right? If you take care of the root cause, then you can start to change the behavior. Mm-hmm. That was motivating it.
And even the dragons don't want to kill humans, and they don't want to destroy property. All they want is the food, because they're taking the food back to the queen. Mm. It's their sacrifice. It's basically their offering to her.
Yes.
So
she seems like a tool.
She's awful.
Okay. Just checking.
No one's sad that she doesn't make it.
Okay.
No one's upset about that. That's why I said you. Well, there are a couple dragons that die because you see the queen eat them.
Oh.
So, like...
What a bitch.
She's so mean. But even Hiccup says, there's a reason why they're doing it. They're not... They just need the food. They just need this offering to take to the queen. Their goal is not to destroy homes. It's not to kill people. But those things are in the way.
Yeah.
From their survival.
Yes.
And if they don't keep her happy, they're all going to die.
So your dog getting into your garbage can is telling you, I'd have this deep desire to forage and find my food. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that this can is blocking what I smell.
Yep.
And so if you have a dog who does that, how do we meet that? Well, you give them a chance to forage out in the grass, give them a snuffle mat, things of that nature. They're not being bad. They're not trying to just piss you off.
Right.
I mean,
they're not trying to ruin your life.
Yeah, they're not. They're not trying to pull the trash bag out and put it in 1,400 pieces just so you have something mm-hmm. to clean up when you come home. Mm-hmm. It's about meeting that need that if we don't give them the opportunity, they can only... They're going to find the path of least resistance.
Yep.
Right? And we talk about the path of least resistance all the time. They're going to find the path of least resistance. But I think that the humans, we don't find the path of least resistance, and we need to. We need to, and maybe we need to learn something from Hiccup and Toothless, that understanding the dog in front of you, understanding the animal in front of you, understanding where the animal comes from, and understanding that this animal is not on this earth for you, for good or bad. Dragon wasn't on here to make your life miserable. The dragon is just a part of your world.
Yep.
We need to have more empathy and understanding that. And we need to help our dogs learn, that they can count on us. Because I think that we focus too much on what we don't want, and let's punish, 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 and all you're going to get is a dragon that's just going to keep blowing fire.
Yeah.
Blowing smoke up your ass.
Something like that.
Something like that. I don't know. I don't feel like I need to watch it.
No, you totally need to watch it.
I don't know. I think I'd be upset. I think I wouldn't like the whole, like, dandelions in their nose.
It just makes them sneeze.
Well, I know.
But so that they run out of fire.
So that they run out of fire.
Because here's the thing. Hiccup is also in a really impossible situation. He tells his dad, I don't want to be a Viking. I don't want to kill dragons. I mean, he's a Viking. He doesn't want to be a dragon slayer. And his dad says, tough, you're going through the training. Well, Hiccup has to find a way to make it through the training without harming a dragon.
Okay.
Physically.
All right.
So he learns these things from Toothless. Like, how can I interact with this dragon? How can I sort of subdue it without actually harming the dragon? Because that's his whole thing. Like, he cannot hurt a dragon. He can't do it.
I love it. I wish more people were like Hiccup.
Yeah, everybody.
Because I say, whenever they're like, I would never hurt my dog. Do you spank them? Do you yell at them? Do you change your expectations on a daily basis depending on your mood?
Yeah.
Those hurt your dog. Yeah.
And that's the thing too, is like Hiccup is very consistent with, like, Toothless knows what to expect from him.
And predictability is good.
Yeah.
Predictability can build trust.
Mm-hmm. He knows he's going to show up in the afternoon with fish. He knows he's going to work on his fin. Knows they're probably going to go for a ride. And then he's going to go back to this little valley that he's found to live in until he can fly on his own.
So what we're learning here is that positive reinforcement works with all species. No shit.
Yeah.
But I think it's beautiful, though, that they did that, because I think that kids need to see it. And remember, parents, if you have kids with your dogs, your kids are watching everything you do. Mm-hmm. And we have to stop the cycle. Stop the cycle of making positive punishment, choke chains, prong collars, shock collars, e-collars, bark collars. We got to stop making those the norm. They don't need to be the norm.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to be the one to get out of that lane and forge your own way.
Yeah.
Good job, Hiccup.
And change is hard, but it's necessary.
And it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it when a dragon looks at you with those weepy eyes and says thank you. Did Toothless ever say thank you?
Toothless can't talk.
But did he love on him and like be like...
They're best friends.
Oh, see?
He was there with him while he was recovering... His little prosthetic leg.
Here's my question about that is, was he going to have to make a new pedal because the pedal was on the wrong side because he lost the leg that was on the wrong side?
You know what's funny?
Yeah.
It is on the pedal side. So I don't...
that he lost his
leg. I don't know. I'm assuming... See, there's a How to Train Your Dragon 2 cartoon.
Oh, okay.
Which I haven't watched yet. I need to watch. So my guess is there's probably going to be a How to Train Your Dragon 2 live version as well.
Okay. Well, let's hope for more positive reinforcement.
Because, I love Toothless.
Toothless is something, I guess.
Well, and I almost took my little stuff. I have a stuffed Toothless.
Yes.
That I got in Universal.
At Myers, baby, we're still recording. Thank you.
Myers has things to say. Mostly that he would like to eat said Toothless toy.
Oh,
I won't
yes.
let him. That we got in Universal, yes. The Halloween, the haunted...
Horror Nights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was my emotional support dragon to get through haunted houses, because I don't do horror.
You do horror because you married me. You totally do horror because you married me. It's all about horror.
I like How to Train Your Dragon.
That's good. I'm glad that that was showing some positive stuff with interacting with animals. Mm-hmm. We need to learn a little bit more about that. So, yeah, if you haven't seen it, go see it.
I think you should watch it.
I'll probably watch it, but not right now. But I do want you guys watching our YouTube channel. Do you like that segue?
Good segue.
And see all the new stuff that we're putting up on how to positively train your dog and TikTok, because, we training dogs on there. I went live today on TikTok, and I'm pretty sure it was boring because we were doing exposure work, and she was doing so good. I'm sure people were bored. But that's positive reinforcement training can be boring.
Yeah.
Because it's about being patient, having empathy, and taking your cues from the animal you're working with, mm-hmm. not pushing it too far, not, you know, scaring it, respecting, understanding it as an individual, meeting the genetic needs, making sure the dog feels safe. So, yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
I hope you guys got something out of this, being like, well, damn, if Hiccup can train a dragon that way, then I don't need this stupid prong collar.
Exactly.
Okay. But if you say, but I'm not strong, Nikki, and this dog is way too strong for me. Well, we need to not physically try to control dogs. This is where we have to build the relationship and use our words. Yep. We have to stop thinking about, I'm not strong enough to handle this dog, because then we're automatically going on to the side of control instead of partnership. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's an episode we need to talk about and do.
Absolutely.
All right. You got anything else to throw out there about Toothless? Nothing.
No, I'm just really glad I got to get all of that out, because it's been in my brain since Friday.
I know. We probably should have recorded before now.
Because
and I apologize.
I was really excited about the movie.
You did great.
Because I'm a child.
No, we ought to really still enjoy things like that, right? That's why we still laugh at dick jokes.
Oh, yeah. And farts.
See? Oh, my God. I can't believe you said that. I have to go now. All right, guys. I hope you have a good, cool, warm, not warm. Actually, real quick before I get off here. Please, 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 please. I'm not doing a July 4th episode. Please, though, if you have fireworks around your house, please put your dog in a spa room. Use noise machine. Get medication from your vet if you have to. Please don't let them go through this alone and be prepared. Be prepared. Do not take them to fireworks shows. I don't care if you think that they like it. They don't. They might be just shut down. So that's my PSA for July 4th. Other than that,
boom.
Boom, that's it. Boom for July 4th. All right, I hope you guys have a great, wonderful rest of your week.